what, April 18th, show number one, the DreamStation.cc video game show. So basically what we're about is anything game-related, PC games, console games, handheld games, any news that might be remotely interesting to gamers. We have a couple guys with us today. We have myself, Chris. We have another Chris, who's the webmaster of DreamStation.cc. That's the website that's sponsoring us. We have Keith. We have Ivan. And we have Bob with us today. I guess we'll jump right into the current news. The next generation of Xbox got a name. It's called Xbox 360. I think that's a pretty retarded name.
What is it even supposed to mean?
I have no idea. That's partly why it's a stupid name.
Xbox has come full circle, and now it's Xbox 360. I don't know.
The one thing I heard about it was that Microsoft didn't want to call it Xbox 2 because PlayStation 3 sounds better than Xbox 2.
Oh, we're just going to increase the numbers until we get one we like?
Let's go Xbox Infinity!
We could have done Xbox Pi, and it would have been a little bit better.
Xbox Beyond!
That's not a very good name. Next year, they're going to have to come up with a whole new naming scheme for Xbox 3.
That's what they do with all of their software, like Windows 95, Windows 98, Windows 2000, Windows XP.
Well, and Windows 01 really doesn't sound that good.
I'm guessing maybe once we see the logo and everything, it'll be better. Probably not.
I have to say, PlayStation probably has the coolest logo because you can use it for, you know, PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2, PSP, and everything else. I'm not going to go.
The one thing that bugs me about Nintendo's logos or Nintendo systems is they always put Nintendo in it. So you got Nintendo DS. Really like the Nintendo 64.
That's probably because they're getting their butt kicked in sales, so they're just trying to put their name out there. You're a proud Nintendo DS owner there, Ivan, huh?
Yes, indeed.
I was waiting for you to say, no, it's a steaming pile that you're going to get rid of. I was just expecting you to say, oh, that's a piece of crap.
I wouldn't call it a piece of crap. I'd just say that it falls very short of my expectations.
As far as the whole MTV Xbox release thing, that's pretty retarded, and I need more than 2 minutes to vent about that, so we'll just save that for a later show.
All right, then.
There's just too much.
You feel so strongly about something.
Yeah, I could rant and vent about just that topic for a good hour, so I won't even go there.
Very simply, kids watch MTV, and that's an easy way to get publicity.
They said, you know, why announce it at a trade show only for the industry, not let the public, you know about it. I still think it's partially because they're trying to upstage Sony, because I think Sony's press conference is at noon on Monday of the week of E3, where Microsoft's is later in the day. So Sony will announce PS3 at noon, and then Microsoft would have been late to the show. So instead, let's talk about Xbox 360.
I just can't get gaming advice from Frodo. That just doesn't appeal to me.
I'm waiting for Sony to announce that they're going to be on VH1 on May 9th, announce PS3. It's all about hype.
There's this whole www.ourcolony.net, which is one of these websites that's supposed to be all mysterious and no one really knows what it's for and everybody's kind of talking about it. It's similar to ilovebees.com that was around for Halo 2 to be a fake website and get everybody's interest.
I looked at it. It's one of those, I don't want to search for information. I just want to click on the link and read what I want to read about whatever it is I'm looking for. I don't want to play games to get basic information about something that isn't even out yet.
Like those stupid SUV commercials with the big behemoth things with the headlight eyes, and there's really no information on what this commercial is about other than visit our website at SUV.com.
I admit that one suckered me, and I kind of like that commercial.
Also like that Mitsubishi commercial where they had find out what happens or whatever, and you had to go to that website, and I remember going and watching the video, and I didn't really hear what happened.
You've been kind of keeping up with the whole ourcolony.net thing. Did we actually get any real information out of it after you passed the first three or four challenges or whatever those hard, you know, puzzles and stuff are?
Not yet. I mean, I guess after they solved, I think when we started, they were on puzzle number 7, I think. So when you answered 1 through 6, they revealed little pieces of a picture, which ended up finally revealing what everybody's thinking is Project Gotham Racing 3 for Xbox 360. It's either in-game shot or a rendered picture. A lot of people I've seen are saying that they think it's a rendered image and not actually in-game, but, you know, the things that I've been hearing about 360 and the capabilities of the system, it probably could be an in-game shot. They haven't revealed anything yet. We've answered 7, 8, and 9, I think, so far. There's a picture that they had on the site, and it had a picture of a power supply with two fans or something like that. And in the background, there was AACI.org. And if you typed in that, you went to this Asian website. So you went there and looked around. Well, I guess on 11/27/98 was when they were first established.
What does the Asian thing have to do with the Xbox?
I have no idea. I mean, some of these clues, like the picture that they originally sent, had these white hash marks on it, too. And, you know, I'm looking at it going, what the heck does that mean? The answer to the challenge was reality reset. I saw that and I was like, okay, what does reality reset have to do with this picture? It ended up, one of the guys on our website figured out that hash marks that are on there, if you combined them down, it would make a barcode. And then his friend had a barcode reader, so then you read the barcode and it came up with a number. One of his friends said, hey, maybe it's a phone number. So they called the phone number. They got a message that said, reality reset, message number 512. So that was the answer. You had to actually call a phone number to do it.
That's just ridiculous because you didn't get any information.
It's part of a game. I guess they call it alternate reality gaming is what this is called. And there's a lot of people that enjoy doing it. It's kind of strange. Just like I Love Bees, they gave numbers to payphones all around the world, and people had to go at a certain time and pick up the payphone. It rang, and then they got parts of a message on each phone, and then as they put it all together, it told you part of the story for Halo 2. I mean, in some ways, that's kind of scary or freaky, and I wonder if they've seen the movie Phone Booth, where, you know, the guy's got a gun at the guy in the phone booth.
The guy gets shot? I think I saw part of that one.
It's interesting. It's a puzzle-solving game, and it gives you something to look at. I don't know how people figure out the answers because they're kind of impossible to figure out, in my opinion. I did figure out the first one. It was like XY, XXY or something. I did a Google search on that and found out that it was actually Ninja Gaiden combo move for one of the moves. I put the name of the move into the challenge box, and it said, congratulations, you got the answer. So I actually figured that out on my own, but the other ones I haven't. If anybody's interested and wants to join our team number, if you go to the ourcolony.net and then type play in that first box, and then at the top, if you click join colony and then put in our number, then you can join our colony if you feel like checking it out, figuring out some of the puzzles.
I think I agree with Keith and all that just for no info.
Yeah, that's true. The number, if you guys want to check it out, 84750838. And that'll let you join the DreamStation.cc colony. I haven't been around with it this past week just to see what it's like and try to figure out the challenges. And it's interesting to see what the answers are. And I don't have any clue how some of the people figure it out.
Some guy from Microsoft was mad that nobody could figure his puzzle out. So he went on a forum somewhere and he posted the answer and then dispersed the link. And that's how everyone got the answer because nobody could figure that one out.
It's just silly. Next topic.
Adobe bought Macromedia for about $3.5 billion. Bob might be the only one to care. No? Bob doesn't care.
I don't care either way. I mean, when Adobe bought that nice little cool edit program that we always used, that worked out well. I have no problem with Adobe products. They have good support and everything else, so fine, good for them.
Just means they're going to start charging $900 for their software.
Yeah, that's true. I'm a pretty big user of Macromedia products, and hopefully they just don't mess with Dreamweaver and Fireworks. Make it better, that'd be great. Photoshop from Adobe, and then there's Macromedia Fireworks for Macromedia. Those are both photo editing programs. But Fireworks is kind of aimed more towards web images and whatnot, where Photoshop is more all-encompassing photo editing.
For a useless finance note, Adobe stock, well, this is pretty much general for any kind of buyout like that. The Adobe, the person buying out the other company, their stock always drops and the company being bought stock always rises. Useless finance information.
That's a nice segue into one of our other topics, which is GameStop buying EB, and I read that EB's stock went up $12 and GameStop's went down.
Yes. So, since the company, in this case EB Games, is getting bought out, they're getting basically all that money. So they're going to distribute it out, which means the stock's going to go up.
I guess Bob can go on his tirade now about GameStop and EB Games.
I could, but the whole thing's just left me with a bitter taste in my mouth. I'd rather not. Sorry. I really don't like GameStop, and I've never liked GameStop, and I've gone out of my way to go to EB instead of GameStop. Like I said, I haven't really been too involved in the whole purchasing of video games so much as getting them for free as of late, so yeah, I can't really comment.
I like EB Games a lot better than GameStop.
Yeah, the only reason I go to one of those game stores as opposed to Best Buy is for used games, and a lot of times Best Buy only carries games that were made in the last year, so if you wanted Gran Turismo 2, you wouldn't be able to find it anywhere at Best Buy. But I hate those whole game stores and their whole you must pre-order stuff from us. When I bought my DS, I went into EB Games and I was just looking around and I was looking at the DS stuff and the guy said, oh, did you pre-order your DS? And I said, yeah, no, I don't pre-order stuff. I think that's stupid. And the guy said, oh, well, you missed it. We're not getting another shipment in until January, so you're not going to get one till then. And I went, okay. Went next door to Best Buy and they had like 300 of them in stock. So I have absolutely
I would have went back
no
and taunted
love for those places.
I had the same exact thing happen to me with EB. I went in there and I was like, oh yeah, you know, PSP's kind of cool. Oh, you missed it, we're out. Boy, you're going to wait forever. You're never going to get one. And then I went to Best Buy and then came back and brought my PSP in there and looked at him and he just kind of went, oh, do you have a memory card? And I said, no, you know, I'm trying to find a good one for a good price. You know, do you price match? Best Buy had it on sale, rebates or whatever. It was like $70. Oh no, we do price match, but I can't lower the price because they wanted 100. I can't lower the price down to 70. That's just too much. I said, oh, so you don't price match, and then I left.
They're just yeah. The guy at GameStop when I was picking up mine said that we're taking pre-orders for the third shipment, and they, you know, I was on the day of the release where you could go to Best Buy and pick up one whenever you wanted. So I don't know how long they had to wait for the third shipment. Has the third shipment even come in yet?
I don't think so. The quality of worker has just gone. Do you guys remember Gary over in Parmertown? You could go into Parmertown.
I remember EB. The EB troll.
Yeah, and you would go into EB and you'd say, hey, what's the best baseball game? There's like four of them out, and they would tell you, all right, here's this one sucks, this one's good, this one sucks, and they would just tell you what it is. You go in there now, everybody's 14, nobody has an idea what you're talking about. I'm trying to ask kids about PC games. Oh, I just play Xbox, I don't know. It just sucks.
Yeah, I went in there to I had some friends over, and one of them had mentioned how they liked playing Mario Kart. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, I got a GameCube. I don't have it, but I'll go buy Mario Kart Double Dash because I've played it, and it's a very fun game. So I go in there, and I'm looking at games, and I found a used version of Mario Kart, and I pick it up. And he's like, oh, you like racing games? And I'm like, yeah, they're okay. He's like, oh, you'd love this. And he went over, and he picked up that new game that's out that
Midnight Club 3 Dub Edition?
Yeah, and I looked at him and I just went, you're kidding me, right? And he's like, oh no, this is an awesome game. And I'm like, is it awesome because it just came out and it cost $50? Or is it awesome because you've played it and you like it? And then he went into his whole, do you want to subscribe to our GameStop Insider magazine thing? You get 13 issues of our wonderful magazine and you get 16,000ths of a percent off of every one of your purchases and it's only $49.99. $99 a year, and I just said, you know what, just can I have the game so that I can get out of here, please?
You can have a complimentary bowl of spit.
Yeah, like I said, the only reason I go in there is if I'm hoping to buy something used, like a 2-year-old game that I know I can get used, or something that's too old to get at Best Buy, because otherwise I'm going to Best Buy. They're exactly the opposite. You go into Best Buy looking for somebody to help you, and it's impossible. But 9 times out of 10, I go in there, and I don't want anybody to talk to me. So
the only thing left now is our main topic, which is going to be a heated discussion about first-person shooters on consoles versus first-person shooters on a PC.
Well, instead of comparing the two, because there is no comparison, it's like the difference between a Dodge Neon and a Dodge Viper. They're both cars, they both do the same thing, but there's really no comparison. Instead of comparing the two, I mean, we could just kind of talk about what is good and or bad about first-person shooters on a console.
I guess a little background on this. We were at Phil's house on Saturday. I get complaints that my game pile is getting a little stale. We need to find a good new multiplayer game. So I happen to have borrowed Halo 2 from one of my friends at work. I detest Halo 2, but it's the big rave, it's the huge thing, everyone loves Halo, so I borrowed it to try it. So we threw it in, and what did we last? Maybe 20 minutes, and people were just sighing and looking around the room, and just, it was pretty sad. It was boring, it was not easy to aim, it was people getting ticked off, it just sucked.
Yeah, it was crap. I think strict first-person shooters on consoles are just, there's just no good way.
play them just because of the limitations of a controller as opposed to a keyboard and a mouse.
I was trying to figure out, you know, like you said, PC, you can't beat a mouse and a keyboard. And I know they've tried in the past. Dreamcast had a mouse and a keyboard. Chris, did you happen to have the mouse and the keyboard play Unreal Tournament on the Dreamcast?
Yeah, I had it. And it worked pretty well. I mean, you know, it worked like a PC and keyboard. I think the one thing that Halo brought to the table for console games was that it was the first first-person shooter on a game console that actually wasn't too bad to control once you got used to the dual joysticks and whatnot. And it was able to bring first-person shooters, I guess, to the masses, because a lot of people can't afford to buy a high-end PC to stay up with the latest Unreal Tournament or whatever. So, you know, Halo lets you play that style of game on a $150 box. So, I mean, it is cool in that respect. Then you have the Xbox Live feature where you can download new levels and everything that the PC is able to do, but you can do it on a console. But, you know, the problem is like you guys were saying, the controls aren't as good. But I think if you do, that's the only thing you're used to, and you're not coming from a PC environment with mouse and keyboard, you're probably pretty good. But
I got a buddy, my buddy Todd has been a console-only person, so he learned to play the first-person shooters on the console. So that's all he's used to. He has no problem with it. I think because we basically started playing on the PC, just the controls for the console are just so awkward compared to the ease of the PC that we just despise it. When someone like Todd, who just learned to play on the console, doesn't mind it anywhere near as much and really enjoys those kinds of games.
That's kind of my point, is I'm not saying first-person shooters are worthless on, so if all you have is a console, then that's great. There still is no comparison to a PC. When I first got my PlayStation 2, one of the first games that came out with the PlayStation 2 was Time Splitters, and I played that game forever because it was a lot of
fun.
That
was a fun game.
I don't know if I've ever played it. Could you control it? I mean, was it all right to aim and stuff?
It was all right. We played it a lot because of the four of us.
You played it once, and I had that, and you and Bob came over my place, and we played that, and then I think we went out and we rented Doom 2 or something like
that,
Quake or something like that. We played it briefly, and I think we wound up playing Quake more than Time Splitters. It wasn't horrible. That, I think, was one of the first-person shooters for a console since PlayStation 2 came out long before Xbox, and it did use the dual analog controls for moving and strafing and stuff. It worked. It was clunky to begin with, you know, to start off with, but it worked. So they're not worthless games. Yeah, they just don't compare to a PC.
I was just going to say, and then again, it's still the fact that we all learned to play on a PC, which is a much easier layout than the controller.
I've tried. I mean, I bought at least three or four different FPS games. You know, Ghost Recon 2, there was two Rainbow Six games, and they did a couple things cool. And I mean, we even played the Ghost Recon the one day, and I thought it was kind of cool. I thought it was easier to aim. I know I like the Xbox controller. I found it's a little bit easier to use than the PlayStation just because of the way the analog sticks feel. But the general consensus, I believe, for Ghost Recon 2 was that it was a pile of crap and we should just go play the PC version.
Maybe we've determined the console first-person shooter gamers are actually more skilled than us.
The only thing I remember is a couple times that Mike had come over and was at LAN parties with us. He complained and complained about, I mean, because he had never played FPS on either system before, and complained about the mouse and using WASD and all that. And then as soon as he tried playing Halo, he just raved about it and how easy it was to control. So I think the thing is that there might be less of a learning curve if you've never played either before, if you use the controllers rather than the mouse and keyboard. I don't know how, but that's not the first person who I've heard tell me that either.
It's disheartening because it just means, I mean, you look at the numbers of sales for Halo 2 and it was just through the roof. And you look at Half-Life.
It's not that good of a game.
No. And then Half-Life 2, which Chris was hitting it before, the whole hardware thing. We usually upgrade all of our computers at around the same time whenever whatever new game comes out. Now, our group isn't really an FPS game, but every year at the LAN party, I would usually play the latest Unreal Tournament. Half-Life 2, I don't know the sales numbers, but it was nowhere near what Halo 2 was, and yet in every single, anyone who knows anything, like the developer award, Half-Life 2 won every award, and to even mention Halo 2 in the same sentence was blasphemy. But you look on Spike TV and all these other garbage shows, and you got Halo 2 beating Half-Life 2 as overall game of the year. It doesn't make sense.
Well, I think Chris brought up the best point, is it's not a lot of people have the amount of resources it takes to maintain a high-end computer and get all that you can get out of Half-Life or even to play it at all.
Is it fair to say, though, that it's a better game? I mean, I can't... If you don't have...
Not a better game. I don't think Spike TV Awards count, really. I mean, no one gives that any credibility to anybody who knows any gamer or industry professional isn't going to give that any credibility. It's just something they can throw up on their website.
But Jenna Jameson was telling us the best video games to play, you know. I trust my porn stars for video game research.
If you can't trust a porn star, who can you trust?
The people who were watching Spike TV to find out what video game is the best video game of the year are also the kind of people who only go out and buy an Xbox and don't have a $2,000 PC sitting on their desk.
Well, there's a big difference between a $2,000 PC and a $150 Xbox.
And that's the other sneaky thing, though. The $150 Xbox isn't really a $150 Xbox. You got to buy four controllers at
even
$30.
Even if you double it, it's $300.
Yeah,
$300 is still a lot cheaper than... Even if you spend a grand for a low-end computer to play all the games, it's still three times the amount you'd spend for the console system. And also, a lot of the marketing they do is for a younger audience to try to get them to go spend mom and dad's dollars.
Yeah, mom and dad are much more willing to spend $200, $250 on an Xbox, Halo 2, and an extra controller than they are to go out and buy a brand new PC system.
I'm just worried about the future of console FPS is doing too well, and I mean, look at the perfect example. This is Ghost Recon 2. We've been waiting for that game for, what, 3 years? And it's canceled now because Ubisoft don't want to be bothered, but they're busy making the multiplayer download map for the Xbox version. Who cares?
It's true.
The money is with the consoles.
PC games will eventually start dwindling off just because there's less and less need for it from the consumers, and the console games will get much, much better and much bigger, and they'll just quit making PC games. I mean, PC games right now, the biggest games that sell right now are massively multiplayer online games, and when consoles finally catch up in that regard, then PC games will pretty much die. Case in point, look at EB Games or GameStop. You go into there and their PC section has six games, and it's World of Warcraft, City of Heroes, Lineage, and maybe two or three other games, Half-Life 2 or something like that. And then there's just a wall dedicated to PS2 games.
If you're a PC person, chances are you're going to be shopping online anyway. At least that's what I do. I don't really get PC games at a store. I just hop online and find the PC game I want and download it and get a CD key kind of a thing. I mean, I'm lazy, and PCs are for lazy people. The companies are going where the money is, and the money's with the younger kids, and that's with consoles.
It's funny to me, though, that when a role-playing game does come out, like EverQuest or, what was the other one, Final Fantasy, how much did Final Fantasy cost? You had to buy Final Fantasy with 83 discs, and then you had to buy the hard drive, and then it took you an hour to install it and configure your PlayStation. Then you had to buy a keyboard because you can't type with the stupid number pad one letter at a time.
I thought that the hard drive, you got the hard drive and Final Fantasy together.
Yeah, you did on that. Final Fantasy 11 came with the hard drive, and that's pretty much the only game that works with it. Resident Evil Outbreak worked with it, but that was about the only other ones I think I know of.
And how much was it, the hard drive and everything else?
It was $100 for the hard drive with Final Fantasy XI. Then you had to pay, I think, $12.95, $13.95 a month to play Final Fantasy XI, which is the basic standard multiplayer online role-playing games fee. And then you needed a PS2, which would be $150, so you figured $250, and then the keyboard thing was probably another, you could use any USB keyboard, so you figured $10, $20, something like that. So you're talking maybe $300, $350, $300.
The other game that I don't know if they could ever find, Final Fantasy, you know, massively multiplayer games we might be able to squeeze onto consoles. Obviously, FPS is on consoles. The only other thing I think that you probably couldn't mess with is real-time strategy like a Warcraft. I think they tried it, and it was a horrible, hideous failure, if I'm not mistaken.
They tried it, but it was another one of those spend $30 to buy our mouse that you can use to swat flies and play Warcraft.
Yes,
well, they had that Mario Paint game. I remember that thing, and you'd swat flies, and
I knew you were going to bring that up.
Play the two games. That was fun. That was like the only fun thing about that program.
You think about it,
real-time strategy games have never been extremely popular, and are, what was the last really good RTS?
Dawn of War, probably.
Dawn of War, or even, I was thinking back, StarCraft or something like that.
But that's the thing, all those Korean people, they play Warcraft, they're still releasing Warcraft 1 and 2 maps, and StarCraft has a whole Korean crazy video game tournament for millions of yen or whatever they use over there.
The yen.
We don't have any listeners.
You're right, we don't have.
I'm thinking yen is from Japan, not Korea.
That's Japan.
I understand what you're saying. I don't know. I think real-time strategy is still pretty booming. I don't even know if there's a top 10 games list around there. I would have assumed that Warcraft 3 was on it, though.
Chris, I got to give you credit. You're right. Korea is the yen. South Korea is the yuan.
Oh, yeah.
Now, is that the same yen as Japan or different yen?
They're switching. It's like the euro. They're all moving to one united platform.
Yes, I would like a ham sandwich.
All right, I'm looking at
it. I have no idea if it's the same yen or not. It has a little picture of a Korean guy on it, though, and the letters are in Korean, so I'm assuming it's not a Japanese yen.
How much?
Of course, I don't know if that's a little Korean guy on it, but
how many yen would a ham sandwich cost?
2.8.
Yeah, I think the last real-time strategy one that I kind of remember is that Armies of Exego that EA released in the fall, and I thought that was supposed to be halfway decent, but haven't heard too much about it anyway.
Here's the top 10 real-time strategy PC games.
Before you say that, it would be about 4,000 Korean yen for a ham sandwich. You can continue now.
Did you look this up? Do we have a reference or a footnote here?
Yeah, it's about 108 Japanese yen to one American dollar, and it's about 1,020 Korean yen to a dollar.
Platform PC, company all, rating all, category strategy, real-time strategy all.
All right, rattle them off.
Number 10 is Rise of Nations. Number 9 is Age of Mythology. Number 8 is Myth 2, Soulbligator. Number 7 is Total Annihilation. Number 6 is Black and White. Number 5 is Command and Conquer Red Alert. Number 4 is Rome, Total War. Number 3, Age of Empires 2, The Age of Kings. Number 2 is Warcraft 3, Reign of Chaos. And number 1 is StarCraft.
So Dawn of War isn't even on there, and that's our favorite RTS for the crowd that hates RTS.
Not that I hate them, I just get annoyed. I don't like things rushing me. I want to build the giant turtle that shoots lasers out of its eyes and have them go dancing through the street.
Yeah, the two-minute
rush. You get rushed by scouts and the weakest units in the game, and people devise ways that you have to be doing something, and to be the most efficient, you have to create, 4,000 zerglings per day, and just crap like that. I don't like that. That's what makes me not like the real-time strategy games. Give me good old Warlords, turn-based and kind of thing.
I guess we've strayed so far away from the FPS on consoles that...
Well, we pretty much all said what needed to be said to be said about it.
I agree. Just like what everybody said, the controls are completely different. More people own console than PC. Well, I guess I'll wrap it up here. We do have an email address created for feedback, videogameshow@dreamstation.cc. We're going to probably start posting on the forums. If you go to the website, you can probably take a link off that page to get to a page about this show, give you like show notes and stuff, some of the websites we mentioned, email address to send feedback, comments, whatever people want to talk about.
And like quote Yoda or something.
You're supposed to recap everything we did. That's what you're supposed to do in speech class, isn't it?
I had some drunken senile guy for speech class. I really didn't pay attention too much.
GameStop buying EB, Adobe buying Macromedia, the lame Xbox 360 name, the rcolony.net, and the whole FPS on the console. I guess we're done for lack of a better ending.